Local government is where politics stops being an idea and becomes your everyday life. It's the pothole you drive around, the tap that's dry, the rubbish that isn't collected, the street that doesn't feel safe. Ultimately, it's about whether your city or municipality actually works. As South Africa heads towards the 2026 local government elections in November, Level Up is putting the people who want to run our cities on camera. Across the special series of interviews, we're speaking to the mayoral candidates from different parties and different cities. Governing is where the promises meet the budget, the bureaucracy, the council chamber, and the stubborn reality of the city itself. This isn't about party politics. It's about the plan. Who are they? What will they change? And what will it cost? Why should we, the voters, trust them with our cities? Xolani, you are, I think, one of the most enigmatic people who are in any of the mayoral races. Mara, people feel like they know you because bakujwayele from seeing you on TV. Why in the world would you want this job?
Ngashuthi, I've always been an activist. In my own space. As a result, South Africa got to know me with the work that I've been doing and still doing, you know. So this came as an opportunity at the right time. Because when we are doing these operations, trying to eradicate Amatrucks through isiZokuthola, at some point, we do get red tapes, you know. We find that sometimes we are being victimized by the police that are involved with criminals. Sometimes we are being victimized by those who are connected to the big cops, you know. And sometimes we even get arrested. So because there's a passion and the drive of eradicating drugs and seeing a better South Africa, this then came as an opportunity. Let's use government or state resources to fight crime and make sure that we better our communities. So it came as an opportunity because of now we are facing these red tapes. But ultimately optimize my activism so that I can work better, because we're working from our own money and we have to go around, look for money and take people to rehab, fight drugs through isiZokuthola. But with government resources, a lot can be achieved. And I know very well that running a city is not about fighting crime and drugs, but a safer city is an investable city. A safer environment, it's a conducive environment, whether for business or for residents, but it starts there. Then you can then structure your economically, your economy nicely so that you can know what to do. Because if it's not safe, it's chaotic, you know?
So the opportunity came at the right time. I then want to know, were you recruited? Or did you approach the party to say, I want to do this? Or were you recruited?
Mina, I approached the president of the party as a business person.
Yeah, not business person.
Business person. So okay. It was a business person, activist to business person.
Mm.
So chief need assistant here and there. Then he said, no, actually there's an opportunity that you can do what you do. Be mandated by the constitution to go do what you do. And if the opportunity is there, why not? Then that's how I got involved.
So you say, Guti, you know that fighting crime and drugs and the space that you have been an activist in is a very different space from being a mayor.
Yes.
Do you think you have what it takes to be a mayor?
I think it's not a different space. It's a component that goes with being a mayor or running a city or maybe being Ubaba or that metro. Because I always take such responsibilities and try to see them domestically. Ukuthi Ekurhuleni is a region. I treat it as a yard. As a property owner, you must know ukuthi wakho kunani nani nani nani, unezihlahla ezingakhi, unotshani obunjani, and kusafe kangakanani, and kudingeka yini, kunokuhlala nabantu abayingakhi, kunokudla okungakanani. Uma unabavakashi, you must know if they are coming, and when are they coming, and when are they leaving. So, residents of Ekurhuleni only want to see service delivery. They want to be safe. They want to be exposed to opportunities, whether to work or to make money, whether to run businesses or an opportunity to be able to express yourself as a human being, whether you want to get into events or anything. Because of, one, the Ekurhuleni welcomes a lot of people from different countries. But they just get into Ekurhuleni and pass because there's no activity there. It's unfortunate that it was on the news and being spoken about in the commissions that are run by the president. And a lot of things that came out from there were news to all of us. So it shows that we have a problem. And the only thing that I'd want to see is the rebirth of Ekurhuleni. It's like buying a house that was never taken care of. You still need to do the painting, wash amaphela, you know, and make sure that the house looks good so that it can welcome anything or anyone that would like to have as visitors.
Mm.
Yes.
So, I mean, I like your analogy. You would say it's like a yard or a house and being a homeowner. Because it also then talks about the fact that there are many different moving parts.
Yes.
So there are many different stakeholders,
yes,
in Ekurhuleni. Many large multinational businesses.
Yes.
Lots of nationally affiliated SOEs.
Mm.
And then the residents.
Yes.
Right? So there are many moving parts.
Yes.
And that requires a level, including, by the way, the council chamber.
Yes.
So the other parties that you would have to work with the council chamber.
Yes.
And that talks about a level of sophistication and intricacy of not just a politician, but an economically viable organization and the organizational power in terms of the development and the person in
yes.
charge and running all of those things.
Yeah.
In your view, what are the most critical three parts, you would say, that are necessary to run in order for Ekurhuleni to be a contender of best municipality?
I think with the research and the exposure that I've had, because I can say I'm one of the blessed candidates because I'm currently sitting in council. And I see Utugen Zagaran. We are able to receive reports. I can say I'm in a position where I'm able to receive firsthand the information firsthand. And we engage. One, it has been regarded as a crime scene. By the commissions and what has been going on in the medias, Ekurhuleni is seen as a crime scene, and that scene must be contained and it must be dealt with. It's one of the one of the biggest contributors in the economy of Gauteng. But it has the minimum enforcement law, and it has the minimum members than other metros. We are sitting currently on a staff of 3,000 metro police officers. And to guard an area like Ekurhuleni that welcomes abantu bangaphandle, and that is a gateway to the economy of Gauteng, is worrisome. And I think that's one of the things that needs to be amplified, or rather optimized, to pump up or beef up the security cluster of Ekurhuleni, which is the metropolis. We need, that's the first thing that I want to do, to make sure that we have enough police, to make sure that our residents are safe, to make sure that our businesses are safe, to make sure that we are in a position where we are able to realize the vision of having an metropolis. Because without having proper law enforcement and not enforcing the bylaws as we should do, we're going to experience chaos. And that is why we have so much cable theft. That is why we have so many issues where 1 minute you are billed 150 as a rates payer. Oh, next week you are billing 750,000. It doesn't make sense. Those are the things that needs to be fixed. But that's internal in terms of ICT. It's not an issue. Number two, we have to make sure that, or what I would want to do is to revamp the house. There is no resident of Ekurhuleni that goes to Ekurhuleni when they want to have a good time, or when they want to have an outing with their family. They rather come to Sandton. Others rather go to Pretoria. Or people, we have to clean up the house, no? Repaint the walls, and make sure that our inner city program, your clean and revamping and revitalizing the city, it must be done. Proper housekeeping is required for us to be able to see Ekurhuleni as a reinvestable city again. So we are having a big problem where businesses or other companies are moving away, where companies don't want to be in the city anymore because, number one, there's instability of electricity and water. No one wants to live in an area that does not have a reliable electricity and water. People want to switch on their plugs or their lights, then boom. They want to open a tap, then see water. So if there's no stability when it comes to those little things, you know, when you put your dustbin outside, it must be collected, you know, because there's people that need to do those things. And another thing that I will cover, or rather prioritize, is to minimize services that need to be insourced, or rather internalized. Then do a tender, we have to reduce that. There are certain competencies that you don't need to outsource. If we need someone to clean, that person must be hired. If we need someone to guard a facility that is owned by the city, that person must be hired. If we need someone to pick up the refuse, that person must be hired, because people will eat forever. And the building will be dirty because it's used by people and people are there. Crime, we understand that crime is there. And there are people that obviously will try to survive from crime. So security people must be there and they must be hired by the city. You want to take things that we know that we need them every day and you want to outsource them into a tender, it doesn't make sense. But when we need a structural engineer, for a certain building that we want to build or a certain building that we want to support, and we don't have those competencies around, we can outsource them.
Mm.
But not cleaning security guards.
So, I mean, you talk a lot about safety and security, and and this is something we have come to know you as, people who've watched you and your career and how it has blossomed in the South African landscape. We understand that about you. I want to understand a little bit more about you. Who is Xolani, and why this has been such a inflamed part of your life? Where you're from, where you grew up, why is this such a big passion for you?
Okay, I'm from Etembisa, and at some point I was one of the people who complained a lot about government. I was one of the people that have knocked a lot of times on doors that never opened. So there are a lot of young people, residents of any city or metro, who are trying to knock, and those doors never open. So I then became a crime fighter. That's activism. And then I then soon decided that, no, I'm getting to this space so that I can be able to speak for those who are not able to speak for themselves.
Mm.
Like, for example, we have people that are doing events in townships. They cannot access facilities because of they don't have the money.
Mm.
Like, for example, I'll make one example. Let's say now you want to do an event today. You come to the city on a Phuket stadium at 75,000. Then you go and do your Section 205, your CHOC. Then they'll require maybe another 60,000 for the Metro Police to come and do their job, control traffic. Then they'll require another 30,000 for the ambulance and another 75,000 for a fire truck. And whenever you want to do an event for the kids or you want to do a gospel concert, already before you can even sell one ticket, you are minus 300,000. And you live in that area and you pay the rates in that area. You are one of the people that are contributing towards the economy of the city. And you are opening an opportunity for people to come and put in stalls and do their small businesses. But because of the city or the metro or government wants to gatekeep, those are the red tapes that you'll find that people are not able to do what they know.
Mm.
Because not everyone is born to be a journalist. Not everyone is born to be an engineer. Some people are entertainers. That is why you'll find that AMA events, I was saying, Zwe Lokshin, then number two. You want to open a business, they'll tell you about all the requirements, but someone comes from Bangladesh, he opens his parcel shop there, everything is fine. No one asks them anything. If you want to open a parcel shop, they'll tell you you must speak to the Department of Health and get some kind of certification. Don't. Show me one parcel shop that has those things. It shows that there's no political will from the politicians to sort these things out. There's no administrative will for the Metro Police to go and do the bylaws. So as Xolani, this thing, it comes as a frustration because of I'm a member of that community. And that's what will always propel me to do something about something. So that's one of the things that has contributed into me taking the position that I've taken and into trying to make sure that things are done properly.
So there are only so many levers that you can pull in any one of these positions, né? And it requires one to be able to deal very astutely, you are in the council chamber now, and you've seen the politics of the politicking. Are you prepared for what that needs? Do you think that you are the right person to rally that group of politicians around to move in the way that you want them to move?
All right. So what I've realized being in the space of the council chambers is that all of us there, we are brought by people.
What do you mean by that?
We are brought by the people that we serve in our communities. Because for one, to become a PR councillor, it means someone would have voted for a certain political party and they got that PR vote. For one to be a ward councillor, they must be voted by their community to become a ward councillor. But we understand very well, or rather I understand very well, that there are different political parties that have different policies that see things differently. But the only reason why we find ourselves in that chamber, it's one, to serve the society of Ekuru Lane, to serve the community of Ekuru Lane. Number two, to hold administration accountable if things are not done. But we have moved away from that. We are doing a blame game. If a certain party doesn't do something, we then stand up and say, hey, they haven't done this. But ultimately, umuntu obasokola is the very same person who voted for you, is the very same person who's your neighbor, is the very same person who probably is your grandmom, who will be suffering from those things. So I would want to realize, or rather see, political parties working together, especially those in that chamber, because those are the ones that have been elected and they are paid by the city to represent people and to hold the administration accountable. Mm. But I want to, they don't do oversight. Instead, MMC manga yenzanga in umuntu uzomala bashayina athi nambona MMC wenu we political party etheni.
Yeah, but umbuzo wami, umbuzo wami because umbuzo wami uthi kena wena yini le obona ukuthi ungayenza ehlukile ukuthi labo bantu labo bonke in the council chamber bakwazi ukusebenzisana kangcono in order to serve the community. That's my question.
Yes.
What can you do differently?
And my answer is, you must always remind them why they are there. That is why when we are in the council chambers, we don't wear political regalia. We are there as servants that were sent by the community to go and represent them in those chambers. So they must always be reminded, we're not doing this for ourselves. There are people that have sent us to come here and represent them in these chambers. So ultimately, we coalition, you cannot do anything. The people decide. Abantu bazovotela a certain political party so there could be a coalition it is in. That's another level. But masenhlangene, sihlangene. The people have decided we have to find a way to work together.
My question then is also, abantu bakwazi as a crime-fighting activist.
Yes.
They understand you to be active in that space in one way or another, effective in the space. Why the mayoral position and not join the police force? Why not join the crime-fighting aspect?
Corruption is part of crime. And a crime, or the, we call it the A crime. It's not only the crime. There's mismanagement of funds. There's looting zeimali that's supposed to be serving the communities. There's monies that's supposed to go somewhere and they don't go there. And it has been spoken about and it's even showing Gumadlang, you know. So a crime, it's not someone taking your phone or someone pointing you with a firearm or someone stealing something from your house. It's not only that. If things are supposed to be done this way, and our policies and laws says they must be done this way, and you decide to do them the other way, that's committing a crime. That is why we have so many HODs who were arrested recently, because of they were arrested because they've committed a crime. So they just have to prove themselves to be innocent or not. But making sure that there's the proper rebirth of our city, it requires us to clean house. And as I said, those are the first things that we will do. We clean house, we bring the right people to do the job, who are not compromised like the ones that we know. So I think it works very well that I'm a crime fighter. Then I'll make sure that the service is there. If this money has to buy this water, it must buy that water, not enrich my life and me buying all these fancy things.
Do you think that you are doing enough to convince the voters to come out and vote for you with that message?
What I know is that I know exactly what Jaban Basekurulen Batinga in. And I know what we've achieved. And I'm not here to promise people Basekuruleni heaven and earth. I have a track record. I've done what I've done without being part of government. And I believe that I can do better if I'm part of government. There are things that we've achieved already without being in any coalition of making sure that there's insourcing some security guards and cleaners. We rejected a budget so many times that the administration had to come and bend to make sure that abantu bafuna ukuthi baqashwe by the city, baqashwe. And we've achieved that without being in government and under my leadership. So I'm not going to promise people amahempa, nengubo, nama food parcels. But what I know is that with the 5 months, 6 months, 7 months I've been in council, I know there's more than 900 people who are going to get permanent jobs and who will be having dignified employment, getting salaries from the city, and bakwazi ukubhatalela abantwana babo a future right. That's all I want to do. Logo, I'm going to wear ties and start speaking fancy English and try to be the man of the match who knows politics than the other one. I'm not there for that. I'm just there to make sure Utimbili Umuntu Wasekurulen is better. Whether white, Indian, pink, yellow, maroon, black, mostly Ekurulen, you have to, don't want to move Ekurulen. Mostly in city of Joburg, you must wish to go stay in Ekurulen. That's what I want to achieve. And with good administration, that is possible. Leo Utisuzali politics, I don't know how to play politics. And I'm not a politician, but I'm a child of Ekurulen that wants to fix. And so far, I have something to show that with the 7 months or the 8 months I've been in council, with a caucus of 15 councillors, this is something that we've achieved.
Do you think it's a disadvantage for you to be an outsider in this game? You say, I'm not a politician, I don't want to be a politician, and yet you are in the political arena. Do you think it's a disadvantage?
No. I think it's an advantage because of Abantu Base South Africa, they've been hearing from career politicians for long. And I'm one of those people who are not happy with career politicians. So I wouldn't want to be that. I wouldn't want to be someone that I saw as suppressing in my life. I wouldn't want to be someone that has deprived me of opportunities. I wouldn't want to be someone that decides on doesn't do their job and I wake up in the morning, there's no water in my house. I wouldn't want to be someone that when I get home late and try to switch on my lights, I don't see electricity. I mean, I don't owe any electricity. I wouldn't want to be that. But I would want to be someone who I call and they respond on time and make sure that I'm rescued. I would be someone that when I take my phone and take out a call and that person answers that call. So I don't think it's a disadvantage for me not to be a politician in a political space. I think it's a blessing because I don't subscribe to any of the things that they believe in.
Mm.
Yeah.
I recently read something, and I'm just trying to remember what the source was, but it was a study about our administrators here in South Africa across the three spheres of government, administrators as well as the politicians, with regard to the core skill that is required to be a city administrator, to be the person in charge of not just the finances, but the running of a city. And it was quite an indictment. I think even just the what that report was talking about is just even the educational level of who we are putting in those places and in those positions. Again, to your analogy of fixing a house, do you ever feel that you may have put yourself in a position now that is beyond the areas of your special competencies? If you are to get a painter and you don't know what kind of paint, and that they must start with the primer and they must do this and that, how do you then supervise that? How do you know they have done the right thing? And how do you tell them to do the right thing if they have done the wrong thing? Do you ever feel that we have that problem? And how do you yourself, coming from an activist background, plan on closing the gap of where the skill shortage may be for you going into a position like this?
I think the example of a house, it covers everything. We all have houses, and
No, we don't.
No, those who have houses, surely they did not build the houses themselves.
Mm.
They made sure that they get a competent person who's certified, who has the track record, who's done previous work, and they have a portfolio to show that they've done certain work. And they got hired to do that work. And with administration, I don't want us to confuse this thing. Administrators are there to make sure they implement the mandate of the city that is taken from the highest decision body, which is the council. If one is not qualified or doesn't have the competencies or experience to do something, that person will not be hired. If one is not vetted, that person will not be hired. So there is no rocket science behind understanding what a person should do. That is why you can ask any resident who's concerned about the proceedings of the city or the politics of the city, we'll find that person is a teacher, is not a political scientist or whatever, or political analyst or what, but they will be able to tell you what's happening in that city. As I'm sitting here, I'm an explosive engineer. I know how to bomb things. But I'm also a businessman. We have people that we've employed whom I cannot do what they do. And I think I might even die not knowing what they do. But because of we follow proper HR processes to make sure that we check if, number one, that person has experience, number two, they are qualified, number three, they have a track record of doing the work that they claim to do, it shouldn't be a problem for us to hire those people. So we don't have an issue of having a band who are competent. It's just that Ekurhuleni right now is facing a serious 60% vacancies of HODs. Like, there's no way. 60% shortage of vacancies of HODs, critical positions, and expect to that city to function properly. It won't. So those things must be sorted out. I believe if I was mayor now, the first thing I'll do is to make sure that I have HODs in those departments so that the city can run. So the reason why metros and municipalities are frustrated is because it's because someone doesn't want to do what they've said they'll do. Go to any metro and check how many HODs vacancies they have. You'll be shocked. And ask yourself, how are those departments functioning? Without an HOD, you have a car, you have a fleet of cars, you don't have drivers, and you expect to deliver to a client. How does it happen? So it's not a matter of competency. It's a matter of having enough complement of people to do the job. If there's a course somewhere, or a degree, or doctorate of becoming a mayor, maybe someone must tell me and I'll start doing that thing. But one thing that I know is that public administration is done by administrators. That is why we have HODs and all these guys and departmental heads and blah, 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 blah. We have all those positions for them to be the implementers of the mandate that comes from council.
Mm.
Yes.
Talk to me about the funding shortfall. I mean, we have been listening to quite amazing allegations over the past couple of months in various spheres, not just at the Matlanga Commission, of how money has been misused, misappropriated, and all of that within the Ekurhuleni municipality. But there is also an issue which is about revenue collection. So we're talking initially about money that comes from treasury, allocations for all sorts of things. And then there is about revenue collection and the shortfall in where those two meet each other. What's your solution?
I think I've touched on it, but I didn't want to go into detail because of some of the things are in council. I don't know if you understand when I say that. Some of the things, because we are not in government or we are not in the executive, I can't really say much about them. But I know that for you to have a functional collecting system, it has to do with your ICT. You must have programs that work. A program that will understand that Ovuyo has paid. A program that will know what Ovuyo has to pay. You know, not a system that says Ovuyo paid next week. If Ovuyo left, hi Ovuyo una 7 years ang apatal. That's where we are sitting. If you can check with a lot of cities, the biggest issue that affects revenue collection. It's not that residents don't want to pay. We know there are those who will do it because they don't want to pay. But we know that there are companies and residents that pays. But if the billing system doesn't work properly, it then becomes a problem. If the billing system is not properly done, that's the biggest problem. You'll never be motivated to pay if namhlanje you are owing 10 rand, kusasa you are owing 100 rand. It doesn't make sense. Kumele we fully line manje and get explanations from people who are supposed to be doing their job. It comes back to human resources. It comes back to getting the right systems in place. That's why I don't want to talk too much because I'll be putting other people under the bus.
They should be put under the bus. Mm-hmm. I have a segment that I like to do with people that are mayoral candidates. That's about getting to, for us to understand how well you know your city. Short answers only. Rapid fire questions, short answers only. If you were to look at your entire municipality and your region, what part of it, of the municipality, do you think shows the potential of your municipality the best?
I can say Ekurhuleni is doing good in terms of our rate policy. We abantu baseKuruleni, they don't pay as much as abantu baseTshwane. And I think that's one of the things that works best, because of if you buy for 10 rand, you get your 10 rand units, you know? And about the residents appreciate that, and the businesses around that appreciate that. But there's a lot of areas that needs to be improved. And our indigent policy, Mjojo. So I think that's why that's the two that I can bring. And you've asked for one, so I'm giving you two. Yeah.
If you were to choose a part of the city or a suburb or an area that you believe is what shows how much Ekurhuleni has let its people down, what part would that be?
Go to Jimston, where the council chambers are. We have zamazamas there, we have cable theft there, we have informal settlement there. It's a mess. But it needs to be fixed. And sometimes people must understand that we're living in a country that has laws. The laws must protect the people, and the criminals must fear the law. I just wish the law can prevail, but it will.
If you were elected to be mayor, and 5 years from now, when the next local government election comes around, what would you have done that would make people believe that in the 5 years that you were mayor, things have worked out? 5 years from now, if you were mayor, if you were made mayor on the 10th of November, if you look back from 5 years, what would you get right? And what would it look like?
What I would get right, number one, I'll make sure that our city is safe. Number two, I'll make sure that the economy of people of Ekurhuleni goes to them. This thing of having people that are illegals and coming to take over, it's not going to happen. So if Ekurhuleni will be a place that will not receive and accept illegal immigrants. If you want to be illegal, go elsewhere. We don't know where. But it won't be in Ekurhuleni, because we'll make sure that we work well with Home Affairs and the SAPS to make sure that we eradicate all these people. Number three, it will be a city where you are able to drive and you will not worry with potholes. The city must be on standby, not work as it wishes to. The city must be on standby for a call to say, come and fix this now. Then it's ready to deliver. It's ready to deploy people. So it will be a city where businesses are fighting to come and find space in. Not a city where businesses can't wait to leave. We must attract economic investment. It will be a city that has a university. Imagine the whole metro doesn't have a university. It will be a city that creates skills. It will be a city that promotes skills. It will be a city that builds economy. No, not what it is right now.
In your campaign trail, what has been one of the hardest questions you've been asked by a resident?
What are you promising us? All politicians or parties promise people, and we've been promised for many years. But I've never promised anyone that I'm going to go fight crime and drugs. I've done it. Some people like me, some don't. And a lot of people don't like me. But those who like me are the ones that love this country. So I think that's the difficult question. What are you promising us? Can't be making promises if I'm not even there yet. Must be there and know my mandate and my responsibilities and execute. But what I know is that I'll deliver to the people.
Well, good luck. Good luck to you.
Nice.
Thank you for having this conversation.
Okay, thank you.
And we wish you luck in your campaign and eventually at the polls. We'll be here watching.
The people shall decide.